better if you write it down. And other folks would rather pay attention and not miss something when they're writing it down. Kind of like my daughter, my 9-year-old one, she's watching a show with me, and she doesn't quite catch what was just said. We were watching the Ten Commandments the other night. And she doesn't catch what's said. She wants to ask me what was just said, and then I miss the next two things that are said while I'm telling her what was... So there's no winning there. So sometimes the same thing's true. When you're taking notes, you're busy writing down what the preacher said, and you miss the next thing that he said that was really, really valuable and really a nugget from the Word of God. So whichever way you do it, we get the outlines because it helped me. And I think it's a great teaching tool, but if you don't want to use that, don't feel bad whatsoever. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up, that's Simeon taking up the baby, in his arms, and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother, I like how the Holy Spirit differentiates between there, Joseph and his mother, not his father and his mother. We talked about that before. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Tonight we're going to study this passage. We see Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the temple for his dedication. In verse number 21, Jesus is 8 days old, when 8 days were accomplished for his circumcision. Then in verse number 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him for the Lord. By the Old Testament law, that was 40 days. Jesus would have been 40 days old then by the end of verse number 22. So he's 8 days old in verse 21. It skips to 40 days old, the manner of custom. The firstborn male, they were to go to the temple. Remember, we saw that last week studying Joseph. And instead of a lamb, Joseph was not wealthy, was not rich, was not even middle class. He had to give 2 turtle doves. So he did that at the temple when they took Jesus to present him to the Lord. And he does that here in this passage. So when Joseph and Mary get to the temple, when Jesus is 40 days old, there are 2 people at the temple that see the baby Jesus at 40 days old. We make a big deal of the wise men. And again, if you know your Bible chronology, the wise men did not see Jesus till he was an infant. They didn't see him till he was 2 years old. But these two in the temple saw him when he was 40 days old. They are the first named people that we find that saw the babe Jesus outside of Joseph and Mary. These 2 people are Simeon in verse 25, and then Anna, notice verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, and we'll talk about Anna next Wednesday night. We'll talk about the worshiping widow. That's Anna. But tonight we're going to talk about Simeon. There are 5 Simeons in the Bible, so we have to designate. This Simeon is mentioned in these 10 or 11 verses, and that's the only time in the Bible he's ever mentioned. After these 11 verses, he's not mentioned again. The most familiar Simeon, of course, is the child of Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, each one of the tribes, and there was one of Simeon. And so this is the Simeon we're looking at tonight, and our outline, I called him a godly watcher. Now, there's a better word for that. If you notice in verse 25, the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. So a better title would be the godly waiter. But I just knew you'd want to give him a 15% tip if I called him a godly waiter, so I put godly watcher. Same thing, he's watching, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. The name Simeon means hearing. And if there's anything we could learn from the name that this man has, is that he heard the voice of God. God had told him, the Lord had told him that he would not see death till he saw the Lord's Christ, so that hearing comes into play. Faith cometh by hearing. And Simeon was one that heard God tell him, give him a promise. He heard the promise and he waited till he could see it so that his faith would become sight. One of these days our faith will become sight. Right now we walk by faith. We're Simeons. We're hearing the Word of God. One of these days when we cross over, we'll see the Lord face to face and our faith will turn to sight. Here is Simeon on earth that got the experience of the promise of God being fulfilled in his lifetime when he saw the Lord's Christ. Let's look at Simeon here this evening. Letter A. In verse 25 and verse 26, we see the man. The man Simeon. The Bible tells us, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now, the Bible, again, doesn't give us a lot of information about this man. History tells us, and again, you know when I tell you history tells us, that means it's a 50-50 chance of being true. But the historians tell us that Simeon was the son of Hillel. Now, Hillel was the first rabbi in Israel. He was the first religious leader of the Jewish religion. That was the father of Simeon. Simeon's son was Gamaliel. Again, that's what historians tell us. Simeon's son was Gamaliel. You remember that Paul was taught at the feet of Gamaliel as a Pharisee. So we might say that Simeon was a rose between two thorns. Because his father was a great teacher in Israel. His son was a great teacher in Israel. He was too, but of the three, he's the only one that testified of the salvation of the Lord's Christ. Many times that happens within a family. Many times that happens within close relations, that there's a thorn, there's a rose between some thorns. And so we find this Simeon came from a line, so he was kind of unique in his genealogy. But think of it this time, talk about being on an island, so to speak. Not only is he the middle of that three generations and the only one that really was sincere in his faith in looking for and watching for the coming of the Lord's Christ, but he's living in the midst of a society that is basically Greek. Remember Paul at Athens? He's living in a Greek society which is emphasizing intellect. Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, they were all three generations, not of the same line, but one taught the other, one was a student of the other. So the three of them, they were all Greek philosophers and delved with all these different questions of science as far as they understood it. And so here's Simeon in this line in his family. He's the only one standing. Then he's got Greek culture over here, Roman culture over there. While the Greeks are worshiping intellect, the Romans are worshiping power. And these are the two powers that be in Simeon's day. And so he's like a rose among the thorns. He's standing out. Now we get even to the nation of Israel and the religious leaders. And there's the Pharisees. The Pharisees were more about oral law than they were written law. They had the law of Moses there with 613 commandments. But the problem with the Pharisees is they added the traditions above that, like the washing of pots and pans. That stuff wasn't back in Moses' law. But they added all these oral traditions and put burdens on the people that were heavy to be borne. And here's a man that's got an honest desire to see the Lord's Christ, and he's lost in the mix of these Pharisees. Then on the other hand, the Sadducees. Then at the same time, the zealots that were there that wanted to lead the Jews against Rome and a great rebellion. So here's a man that's all by himself and his desire to walk with God and see God and fellowship with God. Don't think you're the only one. Remember Elijah? Lord, I'm the only one and they seek my life. Simeon could have said the same thing. As far as we know, in the condition of the times he was around, he's the only one. But boy, did he get rewarded for his faith. Did he get rewarded for staying faithful in the midst of people all around him that were just going every direction in religion, in politics, in power, in everything. He stayed faithful to God. Notice number one, his character. When we talk about Simeon, when God wanted to pick two words that describe this man as we've described him so far, when God wanted to pick out two words, notice the two words he used in verse 25. The same man was just and devout. Those are the two words that God used. If God were to pick out two words to describe you, lazy, no. God were to pick two words to describe us, what two words would that be? Folks, that's our challenge tonight. That's our goal, is to please God, isn't it? We're not trying to please man. We can put on a show for man, but we want to please God. God knows our upsitting and our downrising. If He was going to put two words about us when we're dead and gone, what two words would He use? We ought to be striving that those would be words like He used here, just and devout. Small letter A on our outline, just, speaks of His character before men. That's what just means. Just means that in the eyes of men, He walked uprightly. That's a good reputation to have. That people would say of Simeon, when they looked at Simeon, they'd say, well, that man, we don't know a whole lot about him. There's not a whole lot recorded here, but we know one thing. We know he's just. He's honest. He's sincere. He tries to live right. He tries to walk right. Just speaks of his character before men. Small letter B, devout speaks of his character before God. Devout. That means devoted. He was devoted to God. And so God, when He looked at him, said, I can say two things about him. He's just in his character before men, and he's devout in his character before God. I like what Matthew Henry, the commentator, said about this verse. He said, these two, talking about being just and being devout, your character before men and God, these two must always go together. And he said, and each will befriend the other. Just and devout. They go together. They'll befriend one another, he said. But neither will atone for the defect of the other. In other words, if you have one and not the other, it can't cover for it. One's before man and one's before God, and we've got to have them both. Here's a man, Simeon, in the midst of the generation and the times he lived in, but God said he was just and devout. That's his character. Number two, his conviction. His conviction. In verse number 26, the Bible said it was revealed to him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he was not going to die till he saw the Messiah. Now, I don't know what he was expecting. Probably a full-grown man. He's probably expecting someday along the line, God gave him a promise, and he had the conviction that God would keep his promise. He had a conviction. If you asked him about a lot of things, he'd say, well, I really don't know about this, but there's one thing I know. I'm going to see the Lord's Christ before I die. Because God's Word told me so, and I have a conviction about that. We talk about in our day the difference between convictions and preferences. We all have preferences. I have preferences. And I would love everybody else to live by my preferences because they're my preferences. And you would like to do the same. But there's a difference between a preference and a conviction. When it comes to preferences, when it really boils down to it, it's, well, you know, okay, you take it or leave it. When it comes to a conviction, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So why is that a conviction? Because the Bible says so. God said so. You know why he knew he was going to see the Lord Christ? Because God told him so. That's a conviction. I have a conviction that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man. That's a conviction. That's not a preference. I believe, I have a conviction there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Why? Because Jesus talked about both of them. That's a conviction. All right, Simeon had a conviction. And his conviction was the promise that he got from God. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us when he got that, how old he was when it happened. In fact, the Bible also doesn't say this, and we'll see this as we look at it, and some people misinterpret it this way. The Lord said, the Holy Ghost revealed to him that he should see the Lord's Christ before he died, which means he saw him and he died. That's not what it says. It just says he would see him before he died. You know what Paul thought at one time in his life? I've finished my course. There's a couple times in his life where he thought this was it. It was over, and it wasn't over yet. So we don't know when in Simeon's life he got this promise that he was going to see the Christ, whether it was years and years before, just a few years before, months before, and we don't know how long he lived after he saw the Lord's Christ. It doesn't mean he dropped dead as soon as he saw him. He was content. Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He was content, but it doesn't mean he died right when it happened. So we don't know where he was in the stages of life and how long he waited for this promise to be fulfilled. But no matter how long he waited, he knew, God told me so, I have a conviction. We have a conviction that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Now, people have had that conviction for hundreds of years and never saw it happen. Didn't mean their conviction was wrong. He is still coming back. The promise just hadn't been fulfilled yet. So Simeon had to wait for that. That was his conviction. All right, letter B. We've gone from the man in verse 25 and verse 26 to the moment in verse 27 and verse 28. The moment. Capture the moment. That's what the photography commercials say. Capture the moment. Wouldn't you like to see a still picture or a video of this moment? Simeon waiting for the fulfilling of the promise that God gave him. And then you and I watching on the screen as Joseph and Mary come in with this little baby, and this guy's tending to the temple, has no idea who this is that's walking in, has no idea that his long-awaited anticipation is about to be answered. He's just going about his menial task of doing whatever, probably thinking, you know, I don't know when this will happen, probably won't happen today, probably won't happen tomorrow. I know he promised, but, you know, just like the second coming, but it probably won't happen today. And in here walk Joseph and Mary with Jesus in the arms. There's the moment right there. Notice number one, when the moment came, he had the Spirit in his heart. When the moment came, he had the Spirit in his heart. Notice it said in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Oh, I like that. The Spirit brought him into the place of worship. He was going to see the Lord Christ in the place of worship. God could have revealed that he said, I'm not going to die till I see the Lord's Christ. He didn't say where. Could have been in his backyard. Could have been in his basement. Could have been out at the lake. But you know where God showed him the Lord's Christ? In the house of God. In the place of worship. And it says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says this, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8:9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Folks are living by religion, hoping it's going to get to heaven. Religion doesn't give you the Spirit of Christ. Folks are hoping that living a good life and maintaining a good testimony is going to get them into heaven. That doesn't give you the Spirit of Christ. The way we get the Spirit of Christ is being born again into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Then we get the Spirit, and He dwells within us. So a lost person, no matter how religious, no matter how faithful to church, no matter how many good works they do, if they don't have the Spirit of God in them by faith, they're not going to heaven when they die. So that's pretty narrow-minded. Yeah, I know the Lord was pretty narrow-minded. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. We want to open up that narrow pathway and put a lot of, be all-inclusive into that thing. He had the Spirit in his heart. In verse 25, it said, the Holy Ghost was upon him. In verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. In verse 27, he came by Spirit. You see the connection between him and the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God saturated his life. Small letter A in our outline, as he had the Spirit in his heart, he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Verse number 27, we said it already. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. You know where God... People say, well, that's just the preacher talking. No, that's the Bible talking. You know where the Spirit of God will lead you when it's church time? He won't lead you anywhere but to church. That's just the way it is. It's plain and simple. When it's church time, folks say, well, I can worship God anywhere. Not when it's church time. You know what the Bible says about Jesus when he's a child? As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was Jesus' custom. He went into the place of worship on the day of worship. And yet folks think today, well, that's not important. I don't have to do it. Well, you're not in tune with God. You might have something else satisfied there, but the Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the temple, into the place of worship, where he would see Christ. Small letter B. Not only was he led by the Spirit, but he learned by the Spirit. He learned by the Spirit. Verse 26 says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. That word revealed is the same as revelation, the book of Revelation. You know what the book of Revelation is? It's a revealing. We find out the things that will shortly come to pass. You know how we get things revealed to us? By the Word of God. Simeon had something revealed to him by the Spirit of God because of the Word of God. We're going to find out in a minute. He's going to make a pronouncement here, beginning in verse 30, 31, 32, and all these pronouncements, three of them, come from three different verses in the book of Isaiah. Now again, you understand, Simeon didn't have Matthew through Revelation. All he had was the Old Testament. He had those 39 books. But he read them and he studied them and he went over them and he poured himself over them, not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes did, but sincerely looking for truth. And as he looked at those scriptures, he came up with some promises of God, and God came down and spoke to Simeon on the basis of his study and said to him by the Spirit of God, you're not going to die till you see the Lord's Christ. I believe he was reading the verses we'll see in Isaiah. And that, thus he says these different things. As he's reading his Bible, the Spirit of God spoke to him in the temple, reading the Word of God. And the Spirit of God revealed something to him. That's the way God works. He learned by the Spirit. That's the way the Spirit works. Look at John chapter 16. Keep your place there in Luke chapter 2, but look at John chapter 16 and verse 13. Here's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, about the Spirit of God. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Notice the Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. That's what happened to Simeon. He was reading his Old Testament, reading and reading, and the Holy Ghost said to him, you're not going to die, Simeon, until you see the Lord's Christ. This one you're reading about back there in Isaiah, you're going to see Him before you die. He used the Word of God in his heart to speak to his ear and give him the convictions that he had. It all worked together. He had the Spirit in his heart. Number two, as we read the story, not only did he have the Spirit in his heart, but he held the Savior in his arms. He held the Savior in his arms. Verse 28, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Again, try to visualize it. Simeon, after all these years of waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled, here they come in. You know, we can ad lib, as we say it. He's in there working around the temple, and here comes in these two poor people from Bethlehem coming into Jerusalem now. We know, again, they're poor because they're offering two turtle doves, not a lamb. And these two poor, meager people come in, and Simeon's just thinking, well, you know, I got to go tend to these folks, these lowly folks from out of town, wherever they're from, these poor folks. And then as he walks toward them, the Spirit of God says to him, Simeon, there he is right there. It gets revealed to him that is the Messiah. That's the one. Again, he could have been looking for a teenager. He could have been looking for a man in his 20s or 30s. He didn't know. But here the Lord said, here he is right here. It was revealed to him. And he held the babe in his arms. That anticipation was fulfilled. In the Father's house. Led by the Spirit of God. Trained in the Word of God. And the blessing of God was fulfilled in his life. That's the pattern for us. God blesses those that are centered around Him. God blesses those that are dedicated to Him. God provides for those. And Simeon was one of those kind of men. Letter A, the man. Letter B, the moment. Letter C, the message. Now, do you think a man like that's going to be silent? A man that's dedicated himself to God and walking so closely with God and then sees the blessing of God and holds in his hands that Savior, that babe, you think he's just going to say, oh, that was a nice experience, and sit down and let it pass? No, he makes a pronouncement beginning in verse number 28. By the Bible says, and he blessed God, his message. When we are overwhelmed by the blessings of God, we will not be able to be silent. When we see the goodness of God in our lives, we will not be silent. Maybe sometimes we're silent because we're not seeing enough of the goodness of God. And if we're not seeing the goodness of God, it's because we're not as devoted as Simeon was. He couldn't be quiet. His message, number one, His message for mankind in verse 29 to verse 32. His message for mankind. He said, "Mine eyes," in verse 30, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." We know that phrase, "Mine eyes have seen." The lady wrote it, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Simeon's the one that originated that phrase, "Mine eyes have seen." What did they see? Well, verse 26, "The Lord's Christ." Simeon could say, "I've seen Him." He could go out after this, out of the temple, and tell people, "He's here. I've seen Him with my own eyes." Now, I'd just as soon take the word of an eyewitness from back then than the word of a skeptic today that says, "No, that's all make-believe. It never really happened. Son of God never came to the earth. The virgin birth is all a myth. It's just, none of that's true." I'll take the eyewitness over the educated fool. Look at the back of your Bible. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John, back before the book of Revelation. Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen." So we would have to call him a liar if we don't believe the Lord's Christ has been here on this earth. But Simeon's not the only one that said that. Look what John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word," capital W. Remember, if it's a small W, it's talking about the Bible. If it's a capital W, it's talking about the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. "And our hands have handled of the Word of life." What did John say? "We have seen Him with our eyes. We've looked upon Him." Who did? The disciples. The multitudes that He taught, 5,000 at one feeding, 3,000 at another. Those that He healed, those that were around Him, the multitudes that came to hear Him. They all saw Him with their own eyes. And yet some jackleg today gets up and tells people, "Well, this is all a myth. None of this really happened. It was made up by a bunch of old deluded fishermen. They made this whole story up. These guys without a junior high education all wrote these profound things in a Bible that all matches with each other. It's all just made up." No, they said, "We've seen Him with our eyes. And our hands have handled Him, the Word of life." Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." His message for mankind concerning the Savior, letter B, concerning salvation. His message concerning salvation, he says in verse number 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I'm skipping and just picking some words out, but it's not out of context. Verse 31, "of all people," the salvation of all people. Verse 32, "the Gentiles and thy people Israel." The salvation message is for everyone. For everyone. The salvation of all people, from the Gentiles to Israel. For time's sake, write the reference down, but I'll turn to it. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. Again, I told you that Simeon knew his Old Testament. And that's where he got this, that's what made him realize when he saw the Messiah, he put the Old Testament together with the New Testament. And he got the vision of it. He said in verse 32, "A light to lighten," that little baby is going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. You know what a profound statement that was for Simeon to make? As a Jew? Thinking that Christ, the Messiah, was going to come for the Jew? And yet he says when he sees Him, the Spirit of God reveals to him, He's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Where did he get that? Isaiah 42 verse 6. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand," that's the Father talking to the Son, "and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles." That's Isaiah 42, verse 6. Also Isaiah 46 and verse 6. Nope, I got to make sure I got the right reference here. 49 and verse 6. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. "And He said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Simeon got that. He got that when God's word was fulfilled and he held that child in his arms. His message concerning salvation. Then number two, His message for Mary. Number one, His message for mankind, verse 29 to 32. Number two, His message for Mary, verse 33 to verse 35. Let me say this. His message to mankind was about the Savior and salvation. That's a positive message. His message to Mary was about suffering. We would call that a negative message. But Simeon was a faithful prophet of the Lord. He gave the positive and the negative. We need the negative. We need to be told no. Along that line, we've had a couple foster kids for the last 5 days, starting Friday. The worker came out today to do an interview and see how things are going. When she saw the two-year-old, she said, "I'm surprised. I'm surprised at how well-behaved she is in just 5 days." You know why? Because there's a negative. There is a time to say no. And when a child is told no, they understand, what do you mean no? You mean I'm not going to? Of course, she's only two. She's not processing this quite like that. But just to be taught, no, you're not allowed to scream. Two nights of a headache, the first two nights, we got it through her head. No, you're not allowed to scream. No, you're not allowed to do these things. We need, if we don't get a negative message, we turn out to be pretty bad, don't we? All of us. And we're talking about a two-year-old. I'm talking about 60-year-olds and 70-year-olds. If we don't handle no very well, we're in bad shape. And when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, there's got to be the positive, the reinforcement, but there's got to be the negative. And so in the message of Simeon, he gives the message for mankind. Hey, there's a Savior coming bringing salvation, but his message to Mary, number one, a prophecy concerning a stone. A prophecy concerning the stone. He says in verse number 34, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." You know what Simeon saw down through the time? The rejection of Christ and Christ's rejection of the world. He said there is going to be a fall for many in Israel. You know what that fall is? Again, I'll give you the reference. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. "He shall be for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel." He'll be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. He's going to be the stone that's going to fall on the nation of Israel and divide them. Some will believe and some won't. Some will fall. Some will rise again. Paul used that very same verse, or it referred to it in Romans chapter 9 and verse 32, where Paul said about the nation of Israel, they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And the nation of Israel does that yet today. They're a nation founded by God, founded on the Word of God. One of only two nations founded on the Word of God. I'll let you guess who the other one is. One of only two nations founded on the Word of God, and yet when their Messiah came, they rejected Him. He was a stone of stumbling to the nation of Israel. Paul's writing the book of Romans. Oh, when you read through it, look at it. He's writing Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Chapter 8, and all these glorious doctrines he's talking about. All of a sudden, chapter 8, he just stops in his tracks and writes 9, 10, and 11 that have nothing to do with the first 8 chapters. Then in chapter 12, if you ever get your Bible, go to the end of chapter 8 and then skip to chapter 12 and notice how they just fit together like a hand in a glove. It's a perfect consistency. But Paul has some parenthetical. Chapter 9, 10, 11 are all about Israel. My prayer for Israel is that they might... His heart's broken. And he interrupts that discourse on... The greatest discourse on doctrine and all the Word of God. He interrupts it because of his burden for Israel. What happened? They rejected their Messiah. That stone fell upon them and they fell. Letter B. His message for Mary was a prophecy concerning a stone. Secondly, a prophecy concerning a sign. He said at the end of verse 34, "And for a sign which shall be spoken against." Jesus Christ was a sign to Israel. Now, He was the Son of God. But you know what the Bible said back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? Here again, Simeon's getting all this stuff put together. "The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child." Jesus was a sign. And they rejected that sign. Instead of being admired, he was attacked. Instead of being worshipped, he was crucified. And the nation of Israel was put on the back burner in the plan of God. Letter C. His message for Mary concerning a stone, concerning a sign, and concerning a sword. Notice in the beginning of verse 35. Again, a parenthetical statement. When God puts a parenthetical statement in, pay attention to it. That's something special. And he said in verse 35, he broke up the sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In the middle of that, he says personally to Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. You know what he's telling Mary? He's describing to her what's going to happen at the foot of the cross. How her heart is going to be broken. How her dreams are going to be shattered. That's her son that's hanging on the cross for the sins of the world. And Simeon saw that in the temple that day. He saw that and said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Now there are some that teach, and we don't know this again because it's history not in the Bible, that Mary was martyred for her son. Mary was martyred, and the Bible never tells us whatever happens to Mary. We don't know if that's true or not, and that could be the fulfillment of that statement. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul. But Mary pondered all these things in her heart, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2. She considered all these things, took in all that information. And Simeon, the godly watcher, was blessed by God. His word was fulfilled because of his dedication, because of his devotion to his God. He's a wonderful example. Mentioned in 11 verses and then gone from the rest of the Bible. And you say, why would God just mention this guy for 11 verses? Because of what his life teaches us. So easy to overlook. Again, next week we'll look at Anna, and she's in verse 35, verse 36 to 39, four verses, and that's all we get about her. It's amazing the information God can pack in just a few words. Let's use the life of Simeon as an example to us, a challenge to us, to be that close to God, that God can show us things. God can give us promises. We can be blessed and see the plan of God by getting into the Word of God, being in the place of worshiping God, being led by the Spirit of God, and being blessed by God. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.